Audio of 2 Years in Heaven by Rose the Sunlight. Published 1911 by Carson. Kansas City. Some page numbers are read here. Remark mistakes in this text, found online, and from that reading mistakes, maybe here. Intro. What happens to us when we die? Is there really a heaven, where God has prepared a place for us? Or does life for us begin and end on planet Earth? Are all those orbs in the seemingly infinite universe just put there for us to admire as we gaze up into the night sky, or is the life on those other worlds? When we die, our bodies remain behind, but where does the real us soul, spirit, consciousness go? Can something so vital 1 minute disappear into nothingness the next? Some say we cannot know, that nobody has ever come back to tell us. Is this true? Information channeled to us from those on the other side, as well as through near-death and out-of-body experiences, reveals that the universe is teeming with life and that life goes on. If you believe in the validity of psychic phenomena, then this little book will give you a glimpse of the places we are destined to inhabit when our lives on Earth are over. For 2 years before she passed on in 1908, Rose Carson recorded her out-of-body travels in the celestial worlds. Known as Rose the Sunlight, she was the recording secretary and treasurer at the Temple of Health in Kansas City, Missouri, which she founded together with her husband, Dr. C. Hiram Carson, who published this book after her death. Rose wrote, "The consciousness that I have attained tells me this great truth. The soul aspiring for progress never retrogrades, it goes on and on, throughout all eternity, toward greater achievements and higher realizations. Progressive beings of the spiritual, heavenly, and celestial worlds are always on the lookout for receptive minds, to whom they may be able to impart the knowledge they have gained." More introduction. Rose the Sunlight recorded her experience of journeys through the celestial world, God's kingdom, and the region of the blessed for a period of 2 years, the purpose being that her friends in their material world might have an outline of her wonderful celestial travels. These heavenly experiences are made so plain and can be so easily comprehended by mortal beings that we resolved when we first read the story, 2 Years in Heaven, written by Rose the Sunlight, to publish it in book form, so that all who might wish to know something about the heavenly worlds could find the desired information in this little volume. Rose the Sunlight passed to the higher life January 2, 1908. Many beautiful psychic portraits of her have been given since then, three of them being in the Psychic Art Gallery in the Temple of Health in Kansas City. Thousands of people still remember Mrs. Carson, who met and greeted them when they first came to the Temple of Health to receive treatment. She was the recording secretary and treasurer. Her constant and faithful services for more than 30 years aided her husband, Dr. C. H. Carson, in founding the Temple of Health and the Carson College of Psychicsology, a philanthropic educational institution, the basic foundation for the Great Temple of Light which is to be built in Kansas City in the near future. It can be truthfully said, what mighty things she hath wrought. It is our wish that every man, woman, and child in all our land may become familiar with the contents of this sacred little volume. It will bring consolation and hope to thousands now in despair. The barriers between heaven and earth have been removed, and angels dwell with children of their earth when they can read and understand 2 Years in Heaven, by Rose the Sunlight. 2 Years in Heaven. Chapter 1. In the spiritual and celestial worlds, 2 years among the angels. Beloved, I have been 2 years in the blessed country that knows not doubt or sin. Oh, strange and wonderful life of their spirit that I have learned to know so well during a period of over 2 years. It seems to me, as I look back over my life, that, in an unconscious way, perhaps, I was undergoing a preparation that in the course of time, would take me into a realm of wonderful possibilities, greater than I, even in my period of exalted vision, could ever picture. When the great change came to me, I was so weary and tired of earthly conditions that it seemed good to relax, to loosen my hold upon material things, and drift out into the new country where there was awaiting me just the sort of a life and conditions that my imprisoned spirit had been clamoring for in its house of clay. I had not been willing to go before, however, as it seems to me, my work was incomplete in a material sense, but the spirit, which said, "Take up your bed and walk," was stronger than the will, which said, "Tarry a little longer, there is an unfinished work for you to complete." But the great power which rules and guides their universe said, "Come up higher, there is a larger work for you to do, come up and join the ranks of the immortal." I yielded to the call, the great curtain of death rolled upward, and I took my place upon the stage of eternity. A strange and wonderful stage that is, extending so far out into space that I shall never expect to join the players ahead of me, who must go on, even as I go on, to the end of the play, which must always be the prelude to another act in which each shall be given the opportunity to display to a greater advantage his capabilities. From the first I reveled in the glories and beauties of my new life, but the main incentive which seemed to spur me on toward the greatest effort of my life was this prayer: "Cue mighty powers, give me the strength and the ability to impart to those who need it the good that I myself derive from my pilgrimage to the summer land." No longer burdened with the weakness of their flesh, I was young and vigorous and in the bloom of young womanhood. Those associated with me said, "Never before was the name Rose so appropriate to you as it is now, for you are indeed like a rose in full bloom." I was glad indeed, for I wanted to be helpful to all with whom I came in contact, whether they were of the flesh or of their spirit. I found myself outlining in my mind a set of maxims or rules to guide me in my new and wonderful life. I learned in the beginning that one entering that life could choose his own way of living. He would not be permitted, of course, to do wrong or degenerate in a spiritual sense, but if he cared simply for the pleasures of higher life, he need not expect to progress or pass up to their higher realms of being as time went on. To one who found pleasure in the beautiful things of life, as I had always done heretofore, I knew the temptation would be strong to linger with the throng of beauty and pleasure-loving beings who were to be found everywhere in that grand and wonderful life. After studying the possibilities of my new life, I came to this conclusion: I would enter the different avenues open to me, and with my experience, I would gain something that I could make use of in my higher development and involvement, something that I could impart to those receptive to me, either in the spirit or the flesh. Chapter 2. In the spiritual and celestial worlds. I liked the perfect system I found on that other side of life. I made up my mind to study the conditions from the lowest to the highest. At first it was delightful to visit with my friends, and to go about to the places of interest I found in that other world, but with every experience there, thought was uppermost in my mind that I must be about the work for which I had been called to their higher life. I must go daily to the dear husband I had left with a double burden to carry. I must reach him with my love and my encouragement, and, by the influence I was able to exert over him, I must help him to overcome the lonely feeling occasioned by the absence of my material presence. Although the life was new and wonderful to me, I felt perfectly at home, my mind was clearer than it had ever been before, and I found it easy and interesting to plan out the details for my future. I had been assigned to a beautiful home, with spiritual furnishings rich and elaborate, but I realized from the beginning that only a small part of my time would be spent in that home. My entire being vibrated with actively. I was fond of my friends and the dear ones I found on that other side, and it was delightful to be with them, but I was eager to take up my work. I felt so strong and well that it seemed to me I was filled with a new and wonderful form of vitality. I was thankful for every past experience of my life, but it seemed to me I had just begun to live. No time was wasted in unnecessary work, no hours spent in sleep, and the days were so long and delightful, with no darkness to intervene. When night had settled upon the earth, it was bright and beautiful in the celestial spheres, and both out of doors and within the homes the inhabitants of the higher life were passing the time in the pursuit of instruction or of pleasure. I was rarely alone, except in my journey in GS2 and from the earth, and even then I was frequently accompanied by my husband's first wedded companion and her two dear children, or by some of the numerous guides or helpers of my husband, far away upon the earth, in whom we were all so interested, and from whose side I had so recently departed. Only a few of my own immediate family were left upon the earth, and each day as it passed, found me spending some time in their presence, but there were only two with whom I could come in touch, a husband and a sister. And it was a wonderful privilege to me to be told that I would be permitted to communicate with them and tell them that all was well with me, and that the greatest change of my life had found me prepared to accept what the higher powers had outlined for me. The inspiring presence and the loving counsel of the one whom I had learned to love and revere as the true Son of God was worth more to me than ever before. Standing in his presence and looking into his wonderful far-reaching eyes, I was conscious of an awakened strength in my own being that I had never known before. I do not know that others have experienced the same feeling that I did when standing first in the spiritual presence of the beloved Jose. To me it was not only wonderful, but peculiar. The vibrations emanating from him were so wonderful that they seemed to permeate every part of my being, and I stood forth cleansed and purified, as though I had been touched with immortal fire. I stood within the presence of God's immortal Son. I felt the mighty power of that pure and holy one. The eyes were deep and tender, the brow was broad and fair, framed in a hallowed glory, and a wealth of chestnut hair. And the form was tall and stately, with such a kingly air, and the presence, pure and holy, filled the soul with thoughts of prayer. And I thought of the ancient story of the people of Bible times, who came in throngs to the Savior's side, to be strengthened and purified. How grand to stand in his presence, far up in the realms of light, to behold in a circle about him that wonderful halo so bright, to depart from his royal presence, all strengthened and purified, and to feel, through that mighty power, that the soul has been glorified. Chapter 3. In the spiritual and celestial worlds. In reviewing my life and experiences during their 2 years I have spent in the heavenly land, I find that I have unfolded more in a spiritual sense than during my entire life upon the material plane. In the first place, the true meaning and purpose of my existence have been made clear to me. I realize that material life was for me a preparation for a larger sphere of influence in spiritual realms. I know that I shall go on and on, throughout all eternity, growing and expanding in knowledge and attaining a more nearly perfect realization. The consciousness that I have attained tells me this great truth: the soul aspiring for progress never retrogrades, it goes on and on, throughout all eternity, toward greater achievements and higher realizations. I shall always recall with the greatest interest a gathering of gifted beings who have been inhabitants of the higher regions for millions and millions of years. They were magnificent in appearance, but they possessed the stature of men and women. They were wise beyond my powers of understanding, and the spiritual power that vibrated from them was marvelous. From my observation of them I realized more than ever before that man was the Creator's masterpiece, for he retains the higher part of his individuality and their same general appearance, though he may pass through ages of time. My first great plan, after I had settled into my new method of life, was to systematize the line of work I had been given to carry out. I had been given privilege to impart certain knowledge gained by me to those of earth who knew and loved me, and who wished to know of the life beyond their grave. The knowledge I gained and the efforts I made to apply it to a good and true purpose pertained to my progress, and as I unfolded and developed in greater knowledge I would be given work that would take me far up into higher realms of space. The knowledge I would gain there could not help but prove invaluable to me and to those with whom I would be associated, both on the earth and in heaven. It was interesting to me, the thought of my great work. I was enthusiastic over the prospect before me, and determined to put the best energy of my being into the work. The indications pointed to a busy life for me. In a comparatively short time, I had learned to fit into my new life as though I had always been a part of it. The first meetings with friends and loved ones were delightful and interesting, and conversation flowed as freely as when carried on between material beings. We talked of those left upon their earth, and commented on the wonderful change for the better that spiritual life had brought to each of us. There were new loved ones to meet, and friends I had never known in earthly life with whom to be brought in contact. There were wonderful lessons for me to learn, and the teachers were glorious beings. I treasure highly the knowledge gained from the hours spent with them and trust it will serve me a good purpose as I progress in higher life. It seemed necessary that I should learn of many things if I would be a teacher of others. I remember I had been in spirit life but a few weeks when, in company with several scientific teachers, I took a trip through space. Such a wonderful panorama of light and color as greeted my vision. The magnitude of creation almost appalled me. The power of my vision was wonderful indeed. I could see far away, many miles into space, and as far as I could see the system of suns, stars, moons, and planets continued its movements. I knew that beyond the picture presented to my vision there were other starry systems through space. There was not one sun, but from each central sun the one nearest it derived its heat, light, and power. It would take weeks to describe the wonderful solar system as I saw it. The Earth seemed but a dot compared to the countless bodies suspended in space. Floating far up through the starry ether I moved until I was in the very heart of the starry systems. Such a blaze of light and color had never before been flashed upon my vision, but, being a spiritual person, I was able to endure it without injury. The gases and the heat thrown off from celestial bodies would annihilate a physical being, did he possess the power to attain that great height in space. No words that I could frame in my mind were sufficiently strong to express the wonder of their creations that I saw about me. The thought came to me that perhaps, as time went on and I grew in spiritual power, that which seemed of such magnitude now would be superseded by visions of still greater magnitude, still higher in space. The idea of the plan of creation, as it appealed to me then, was that the supreme cause of all created things came from so many degrees above, that it would be impossible to trace it. But there, one great cause that produced visible formation, must have been a nucleus of positive and negative force united together, from which more force was generated, until, by the law of cohesion and attraction, the universe continued to expand and grow into multitudinous forms and creations. A very learned teacher who accompanied me must have divined my thoughts, for he said, "You have the correct idea on a small scale. Sometime, when you are ready for it, I will give you a lesson on the science of creative law that it would be impossible for your understanding to grasp at the present time. You are now taking your first lesson in the higher science of the spirit. These expressions of creative law, which seem now of such magnitude to you, will, after you have had a few lessons, resolve themselves into something that fits into your understanding. They will not grow any larger or smaller in size, but your understanding comprehension will grow. Consequently, the time will come when you will not be satisfied with what you see about you now. You will realize that all this great exhibition of mighty creative law is simply an emanation from a still greater degree of power, and as you continue to move higher in space, your understanding will grow stronger. Even now you can ascend so high in space that it seems to you that you can almost touch creative cause, but with this great possibility, you are limited, for there are realms so high in space that if you could enter them now, you would pass into a condition where, for a time, you would seem to lose yourself. Your comprehension would be so inadequate to grasp the situation that it would be like going into the quintessence, or the universal, of the Brahmin belief. Those great Hindu teachers do not understand the idea perfectly. Their teachings imply that the greatest blessing or reward that can tome to the immortal soul of men is to become absorbed in the universal and there find perfect rest. We have a higher understanding of the plan than that. We know that the God principle of their immortal soul can never lose its identity or its power for higher unfoldment as the time goes on. For instance, if you should continue to move on higher and higher into space without a guide in your present degree of unfoldment, you, no doubt, would find yourself in a realm where the power was so great that your spiritual vision, your spiritual sight and understanding, would not be powerful enough to realize anything at first. If you remained in such realm of space, you would have to dissolve and unfold for some little time before you would be able to see or hear anything at all. 20. But gradually your powers would unfold and, by a peculiar law of the highly developed and unfolded soul, you would take your place there and find your life work in those higher realms. I may say to you, in all truth, that not one spiritual being in 1,000 could take the trip that you have into these higher realms after being in spirit life for the short length of time that you have. We do not advise spiritual beings to take these trips into space unless we know that they possess unusual spiritual power. As I have said before, the elements of space cannot harm the spirit, but he must be able to comprehend his experiences to a certain extent, or he becomes, as I tell you, that you would be in still higher realms than these. You do not realize it, but the composition of your spiritual body has been changed since you passed up into the 853rd degree in space. According to our estimate, 2 million miles constitute 1 degree, so you see you are far from Earth. Although, if you wished to return there now, you could make the trip in less than 10 minutes. And, in the course of time, as you grow in power, you will be able to reach the Earth plane in less time than that. The vibration of your body is not so rapid as it is in your spiritual home. Upon this trip you will not be able to behold the beings who guard these realms, although they are all about you now and of greater number than you can estimate. They are spiritual in their composition and of the same form as you, but more powerful, as they never lived in physical form. One may consider this very strange conversation for two spiritual beings on a trip through space. Strange as it may seem, it was exceedingly interesting to me, and I returned to my home in their heavenly realms more enlightened than before on abstruse subjects. This was the first of many trips through space that were always filled with absorbing interest to me. Since that first trip I have gone up over 1 million degrees, and have gained such knowledge that I can never expect to impart to material minds, but I have a class in spiritual research, the members of which meet in my home, and are fitting themselves to explore the realms of space. 22. Some people will ask, of what value can it be to a spiritual being to learn of the wonders of space? I say it is of inestimable value in many ways, not only to the inhabitants of the eternal world, but to the people of Earth as well. Progressive beings of the spiritual, heavenly, and celestial worlds are always on the lookout for receptive minds, to whom they may be able to impart the knowledge they have gained. Every great achievement worked out upon the earth has been impressed on some material mind that has been prepared to receive it by higher powers. This great truth is not known by the majority of people, but it is nonetheless a fact that if it were not for the information vibrated to material minds by spiritual beings, the earth plane would be much slower in its progress than it has been and is today. Questions of vital interest to the people of their material and spiritual planes interested me exceedingly. I wanted to live in such a way that I could be helpful to others less fortunate than myself. Particularly was I desirous of reaching one on the earth plane whom I had been selected to assist in a certain great work. This thought was in my mind constantly in the midst of my work, and the many different experiences that meant so much to me in many different ways. My friends told me they never realized before that I was so ambitious. I did not call it ambition, it was simply the desire in my soul to make the best of the wonderful privileges that had been given to me in my new and glorious life. I did not need to be told that great honors awaited me if I would perform a certain great work. The pleasure that I derived from gaining knowledge and in realizing that I could be helpful to others was an incentive sufficient to make me continually desire to accomplish more and more as time went on. How happy I was when the way opened up for me to communicate with the one of earth who had journeyed by my side for many years and who felt keenly the absence of my material presence day by day. Every moment of the time I spent in spirit life was occupied with something helpful and instructive. I cared not to spend the time in mere pleasure, or even to enjoy something particularly beautiful, unless I knew that the good I was to derive from it would aid in my progress, or furnish me with some helpful idea that I could impart to others to aid them in their progress toward higher, grander, and better things. I did not make undue mention of my plans in this direction, although I found much satisfaction in the reflection of it in my deeper consciousness. I enjoyed the companionship of my friends and loved ones very much, and I came in contact with wonderfully interesting people who had accomplished something in the heavenly life, and who would accomplish still more as they moved onward toward higher progression. It was interesting to me to meet the gifted men and women of the heavenly life who had figured in the intellectual life of the material world. Later on, in describing my experiences, I shall devote a chapter to interviews with distinguished people. As I recall the experiences of 2 years, it seems as though I had been an inhabitant of the better country at least 15 years. Such wonderful and varied experiences as I have had in the different realms of space, from spiritual travels about the earth to realms above the earth, the spiritual and angelic worlds surrounding the sphere of earth, and the mighty realms above the celestial, known in spirit life as God's kingdom/the kingdom of the blessed, the realm of peace and bliss, and the God center of creation/truly, I have been blessed in the privileges given unto me. Chapter 4. In the spiritual and celestial worlds. 2 years in heaven. The memory and experience seem sweet to me, and, even though I pass through new experiences daily, I like to recall their joys and the surprises that have come to me from time to time since I joined the angel band above. When I first passed to the summer land, the idea occurred to me that it might be interesting to keep a record from time to time of the experiences and events that took place in my life, and, to my surprise, I learned that for every soul who passed the spiritual life there was one appointed to keep a record of that life. It seems to me that, if I carried out all that I planned to do, it would keep someone pretty busy making a record of it. I soon learned that I could transfer my thoughts to pages, that I could prepare myself from the leaves of spiritual plants. I was glad of this, for I knew my experiences would certainly be very interesting. Since that time I have spent many pleasant hours reading the thoughts that first came to me as a spiritual being. On the cover of the journal of my experiences I made this inscription, "Rose Leaves." by a rose that bloomed and faded on earth to be regenerated and quickened to a fuller and more beautiful bloom in a garden of the summer land. The following are some of my thoughts as I read them now. I have been told that it has been 5 days since I closed my eyes upon earthly things to open them in heaven.